Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today, our focus is going to be the 19th perek of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. It has become increasingly clear to David that Shaul is not looking at him favorably. And so at this point in time, there is an interceding which is done by Yonatan. Yonatan tries to resolve the issue diplomatically. So he says, David, I know my father is looking to kill you. So let me speak to him. You wait out here. I'm going to meet you in the field and I'll chat about this. So he goes to Yonatan, goes to speak to his father, or let's say more careful, Yehonatan goes out to meet to speak to his father. And he really appeals to all the good things. He says, Shaul, to his father, he says, why are you trying to kill him? What did he do to you? You know, he put his own life at risk to fight Goliath. He has fought all your wars for you. You know, what has he done for you? He's only tried to do good things for you. And remarkably, the psukim say, "Vayishma Shaul b'kol Yonatan, vayishava Shaul chai Hashem im yomas." It says that Shaul listens to Yonatan and he makes an oath that David should not die, not via his hands, not via other hands. And Yonatan, having achieved what he feels has been a safeguard, now invites David back, and the relationship continues as if from a restart. Unfortunately, there's a regression, because as David HaMelech goes into the deepening war between the Israelites and the Philistines, and he successfully reprises them quite successfully, Shaul HaMelech, his Ruach Ra returns, and he's sitting there with his spear, and he tries to throw it again at David, and David runs out. At this point in time, David HaMelech is at home with his wife Michal, the daughter of Shaul, and David HaMelech sends guards to, in a certain sense, it's house arrest till the morning. Michal, picking up on this, tells her husband David that this is happening, and she pushes him, she lowers him down out of the back window, and places some sort of trophim, some sort of, you know, human looking forms into the bed, and a flask of goat's hair as the head to sort of cover him up and pretend that David HaMelech is there. When the guards come in the morning to take him to the palace of Shaul, you know, she says he's sick, and when they finally come in after all the delays, they find it's not really David, and David is really, in the meantime, gone. Shaul confronts his daughter, and he says, Michal, what are you doing? Lama kach remisani, why did you trick me like this? And so Michal says, Hu amar elai, shal cheni lo mam yaseich. He said, let me go, why should I kill you? So she pleads victim to circumstance, and David HaMelech escapes, and she remains. And what happens next is David HaMelech goes to the first safe haven he can think of, knowing that he's now a refugee from the king. He goes to Shmuel in Ramah in Nayot, which is two places which are described here, Nayot and Ramah. It is interesting that David HaMelech and Shmuel have not had much to say to each other, at least explicitly in the text, till this very point. And they have a very intense conversation, which we're going to see the Mefarshim deal with, what was actually going on in that conversation. In the meantime, Shaul obviously gets wind of the fact that David is there, and he sends a group of soldiers to go there. But what happens is that the soldiers are sort of wrapped up, taken over by prophecy, because as they approach Shmuel and David, who are wrapped in prophecy, they too become sort of absorbed in, and Shaul sends another bunch and another bunch, two, three groups of soldiers, and all of them are entranced in prophecy every time they come close to Ramah. And finally, Shaul HaMelech himself goes, and as he approaches Ramah, he too is enveloped in this in his prophetic experience, so much so that it says that the Tanakh describes that he takes off all his clothes and he stood bare in front of Shmuel prophesizing. And that's why the saying comes back again, Hagam Shaul Banavim. Even Shaul is among the Navim, even somebody at the beginning of his career, at the end of his career, people felt it was maybe unworthy at this point in time at least. So a few things just to think about in this perek. This closes our perek for the day. But a few really interesting things to think about. Number one is, how committed was Shaul to this? Shaul speaks to Yonatan. Yonatan, really, really reaches out. And is Shaul being deceitful or real when he promises not to to hurt David? And there's a beautiful mefarish on Tanakh called the Chomas Anach. And the Chomas Anach says that really, at this point in time, there's an oscillation going on in Shaul. And Shaul really knows, the inner Shaul knows and wants to do what's right. And Yonatan has spoken to that inner Shaul, and that's the person speaking here. It's when the later, as the outer experiences of him, and the dark, the Ruach Ra, which comes on him, is what's going to cloud this. But at this point in time, he really does want to come right. And it's tragic because he's not able to, as we're going to see in the next coming prakim. One interesting thing just to focus on as well is that whenever Shaul seems to have his spear with him, it's a sign of anger, it's a sign of contention, and we're going to see this throughout. It was last perek where he tries to kill David with it. Here again, he's sitting with his spear. It seems like any time that David HaMelech is succeeding in battle, that's when the Ruach Ra comes upon Shaul. Whenever David HaMelech is going up, Shaul HaMelech is going down. When it comes to the house arrest business, one thing to think about, which is just interesting, is if you were Shaul HaMelech and you wanted to make sure that David HaMelech would be killed or arrested and put out of commission, why would you house arrest him? Why didn't you just bring him to the palace at night? I mean, like, he took a risk, and the risk actually was bad for him. He lost David HaMelech. Why did he do that? So the Radak says what's very simple is he didn't want to kill David HaMelech in front of his wife, who was his own daughter. So that's why Shaul did a house arrest and then sort of with a pretense that there'll be a procedure the next day and make it look like it's an official thing, and then he would disappear. The Malbim says something even more nefarious, and that is that Shaul actually was intending. He knew that David HaMelech would notice the guards outside the door, and he knew that David HaMelech would not go down into that dark night peacefully. And so he was hoping and expecting that David HaMelech would try to make a break or try to confront the guards and be killed in action, and therefore thereby avoiding all conversations about whether or not he was allowed to be killing David HaMelech. And when Michal defends her actions, the Alshich points out a very interesting concept in her conversation with her father, and that is that when she says to him, David HaMelech, who said, "Lama amisei, why should I kill you?" He actually reframes the conversation. He says, "You know what she said? Such a brilliant idea." She says, "This is what happened. Last night, I was about to. David HaMelech was making an escape. My husband was making an escape, and I said to him, I can't possibly let you go and speak to be there and talk to my father with a straight face. You have to rather kill me before you leave." That's what she claimed she said to David. And David HaMelech's response to her in her reframed conversation was, "Lama miseich, why should I want to kill you?" And so, I mean to say, what she did was she painted a picture of herself being ever more loyal to her father, and David HaMelech being even more loyal not to kill the daughter of the king, which is the way she reframed it. Just a very beautiful way, and he proves it in the words lama as opposed to pen, a very interesting diuk that he presents. Last point, two points just to focus on, is this place Nayot and Ramah is very important because the Medrash describes that the place was actually Ramah, that's where Shmuel Hanavi lived, but Nayot is referring to Nayosh El Olam, the place of the world, which means to say that the discussion that they were having is about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which means we know that there are three national mitzvahs. One is destroying Amalek, one is appointing a king, and the third one is building a Beis HaMikdash. The fact that Shmuel HaNavi is giving the instructions of building the Beis HaMikdash to David HaMelech is, in a certain sense, Shmuel HaNavi's giving over the real crown to David and saying, "You're going to be the one who is going to bring about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe not yourself necessarily, but you're going to bring that about." And this is Shmuel's acceptance of David HaMelech to be the king, and Shaul HaMelech is clearly and painfully aware of this. Last thing, which obviously seems a little strange over here, is when you prophesize, do you take off your clothes? Is this the way it really works? Is this the way it always used to work? Not so clear. Some of the Mephoshim say, yeah, it means to say that he took off his royal garb. Right? Rashi says that he took off his robes. The Alshich says symbolic of what's going on over here is he's stepping outside of the confines of this world. Meaning, where was the tension? Where was the pain? Where was the suffering in his life, in our lives? It's all the multiple layers of self that we describe to ourselves. All the person we think we are and we present to the public and the people we think are around us. What Shaul did at this moment of simplicity in prophecy was to remove those outer layers of self. And in that layer, in that innermost core of who Shaul HaMelech is, there was peace. He was one with David. He was next to David. They were prophesizing together. Because it's all the complexity of the external garments of ourselves and our egos which makes life so much more complex. And that's what he was able to step out for just this moment. We start tomorrow. Perek Chof. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.